Safety First.
Welcome to our TÜV Süd podcast series Safety First, where we explore cybersecurity and more. I'm Sabine Krümer from Corporate Comms at TÜV Süd, and I'm happy to be here presenting a new episode for you today. And as you may have noticed, in English, a premiere. So we are excited to welcome even more listeners from all over the world. Let's jump right into it. Today, I'm joined by Sudhir Etiraj, Lead Cybersecurity Strategy and Charter of Trust at TÜV Süd. The Charter of Trust is a global initiative to develop baseline cybersecurity requirements, and TÜV Süd is an active member. In today's episode, we will discuss cybersecurity in times of the coronavirus pandemic. We will address the question of how to manage IT security when working remotely from home. By the way, in one of our recent episodes in German, we discussed this in more detail. Today, we'll go one step further and also address the question of how companies and providers of critical infrastructure, such as the healthcare sector, manage risk of cyber attacks in these challenging times. Last but not least, we take a look at some general recommendations and best practices published by the Charter of Trust. Welcome, Sudhir. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sabine. Great to be on your show as well.
So let's get started. Sudhir, how has your work routine changed since this pandemic started? And I bet you're also working from home.
Yes, that's true. So I've been working from home as well since the whole corona pandemic started. Thankful that at least I can work from home and some of my work can be done from home. But I'm also thankful for the gentlemen and ladies that are working outside in the front lines in the healthcare sector and also in the other areas. Thanks to them.
Absolutely. And we really do have to owe them all our respect. And this is so really important work that they do at the front line. Now we are just coming to our first question related to working from home. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, many people not only stay at home, of course, but practice social distancing. They are also working from home, as we just said. And what are the basic cybersecurity guidelines people should be following when working remotely from home?
Companies across the globe have been trying to get people work from home and also remotely. So this also means that the employees are carrying a lot of the company devices with them at home. And this increases the attack surface massively. So if you compare a device that's being used in a corporate environment with all policies and things in place, if I would take the same device at home, I would like to follow certain things, certain baselines that make sure that my information, my customer information, the information that belongs to my company is safe. To your question on some basic things, the good practices would be to take the devices that are absolutely necessary. This would be laptops, mobile phones. If they're not necessary, if they're devices that contain information, if you think you don't need them, you probably store them at a safe place back in your office and not carry them around. I would also suggest on these devices is that we use these services on the devices a bit carefully. For example, if you have a laptop, if you have a USB, try to keep as many services disabled by default. This might be a showstopper, but I would say look at your USB ports. What are they connected to? If there's an SD card, if there's another hard drive that's being connected for storage, what are these devices doing and things like that? So keep them disabled by default.
Okay, so these are some things that should be avoided and one is not really thinking of that in the first place, right?
Exactly. And I would also say a couple of more points in these lines. So if you have your devices like mobile devices, make sure that the third-party apps that you install on your device, if you have them, what level of access do they have on your personal device? So what kind of access do they have? What kind of tools do you have on these devices and things like that? What's also pretty important while working from home is to communicate in a secure mechanism. If you look at it, you have your wireless router at home, probably with your admin password that's not changed for years. Probably you might want to change the default password for good. And what I also recommend is to make sure that the router is encrypted up to a level of WPA2. If you don't know what that is, you would probably have a router instruction manual that just tells you, and it's not rocket science to do that.
So one problem could be that many people have not really secure IT infrastructure at their home, actually, right?
Exactly. So I would also take a look, apart from the router, to take a look at the other devices we have in our home. So this could be a smart assistant, voice assistant like Alexa, like Siri, like Google Home, or you probably have your smart vacuum cleaners that are connected to the internet.
Household appliances.
Exactly. Make sure all your devices, private devices, like your household devices, your private communication devices, and also your corporate devices updated. Because if you look at the latest trends, like an attack like Mirai, that happened quite some years ago, there was a casino in Las Vegas that was attacked. Not because of the infrastructure that belonged to the actual business of casino, but the attackers got via the IoT device, a low-cost IoT device. So that got compromised, and that got to be a part of the botnet network, and they compromised the whole casino. That costed them a lot of money.
Ironically, you might feel safer when working from home, but there are other dangers that are waiting out there for you. Could you say so? Or?
I would say so as well. I mean, home is where you're, where you feel safe and where your family is, but that could also be some bottlenecks for privacy and for security. This also brings me to a very, very distinct thing. I mean, we have the times of homeschooling right now, which is unprecedented. So we've not seen parents, both the parents working and the kids being schooled at home at the same time. So we haven't seen that in the last 30 years since the digitization has helped us work, study, do things remotely from home. But that's also somewhere where you need to be careful with security. I would then stretch to say, turn off your camera when it's not needed. This is very, very high level, but also like lock your computer when you're not using it. Make sure that your family, your kids don't have access to your corporate devices. That's probably what you can do to split family from jumping onto your corporate network.
Yeah, sounds a bit like a no-brainer, but one should really be aware of that, I think. So what are best practices for companies when they are sending their workforce to work at home?
Yeah, so with regards to the companies, so I would say there is an increased amount of phishing attacks that's out there that's pretending to be corona-related information, that's pretending to be something that's coming from the CEO, a document that needs to be filled out, a link that needs to be clicked where you can fill out some information as an employee and things like that. I think as a company, you would like to take a look at your security policies. How good are they for remote working? How good is your VPN connection? Of course, that doesn't ensure that you're completely secure, but at least when employees are accessing corporate information, that they use VPN. And for phishing attacks, you probably want to have some savvy methods to make sure that the employees don't click on links, rather than a classroom training, which is absolutely not possible right now. But you would probably have something savvy, like a phishing campaign, where you probably simulate a phishing attack within your own company, where employees try to click on that, or maybe they click on it, and then you try to analyze how many employees have done that to make sure that these employees need training. Probably you'd have a video following that to say, hey, you clicked on the wrong link. You should be looking at the sender. You should be probably looking at the subject. You should be probably looking at the grammar to make sure that this is a genuine email that's sent to you and not somebody that wants to install malware in your computer.
So this sounds quite like a challenge for the CISO in the companies to really have a look at their practices and their rules again and to roll them out.
Exactly. So I would say if you're a CISO, you probably have to forget sleep for some days.
Okay. going to the next topic, what do you think about cybersecurity trends in general? How did cybersecurity change by the coronavirus pandemic?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of things that have been observed in the current times. With the virus being spread so fast and so rapid across countries where countries have gone to lockdown, and that doesn't stop bad entities and bad actors from doing evil things, let me put it that way. One of the trends that we see is continuing from the previous topic, more home office, more remote work. So that's expanding the attack surface, but that also means the whole of the supply chain is disrupted. So people do not have enough hardware. So companies don't have enough hardware to cater to the needs of the people working from home. This means that they are trying to get as much hardware as possible to supply to the demand. The trusted sources where they're buying it, they have disrupted supply chains because globally things are moving a bit slower. That means that these companies, to ensure business continuity, they're resorting to third-party devices and from third-party sources. This keeps me up at night and this scares me a bit. Some of these devices are end of life. There's no security updates available for these devices. But just to make sure that business continuity is there, they resort to these devices.
What are some of the risks involved in this?
Enterprises, they're not getting the devices that they need from the regular or the usual trusted supply chain. So they resort to sources like eBay and things like that. So they probably are getting some servers that are probably end of life. And this possesses a huge risk to the enterprise itself. End of life in the sense you do have the manufacturer coming and telling you, hey, we don't have any security support on these devices anymore, but they could still work. So end of life doesn't always mean that the device is not working. It just means that the manufacturer, the provider of this device, is not catering to security updates. The other question would be, where is trust in these devices? How can I get these devices into my network? Are these devices doing what they're supposed to do? That's set up by the manufacturer. So I would go back again to the Mirai attack example to say that these devices could in turn be a part of the botnet network. Yeah.
So this sounds like a ticking time bomb.
I would say so as well. So these third-party devices could ensure probably your business continuity at this moment. This is probably making sure that you're up and running digitally. But that also means that you do see a ticking time bomb in that. After a certain while, you probably need to make sure that these devices are out of your network.
What about public funds? I think there are also some issues there.
Absolutely. So public services, public funds that are set up to cope up with the corona pandemic, the crisis situation, they've been targeted multiple times. So the first one, the major one that's been seen outside is the World Health Organization website. They've been targeted like crazy. They've put public information on their website saying, if you get an email that says official information about corona from the WHO, please take a look at the sender, because there's been a lot of phishing attacks that seem to be WHO sending the email, but it's actually not. It's somebody, a bad actor, that's probably sending an email with a link in it, and people try to download the attachment or the link, and they get into trouble.
Are there other examples?
Yeah, definitely. So if you look at the recent case in Germany, for example, the state of NRW. So they have set up, so German state, the country itself has set up a huge pool of funds for freelancers, for small, medium scale enterprises that have been affected by the corona crisis to receive some financial aid in this time. So each state has its own website where you as a freelancer, as a company, can go and apply saying, hey, I had so much cash flow in the past, there is no income revenue coming in. So you tend to apply to that. And what's been happening in this side is that there is no verification mechanism on this website in certain states, or there was no, because people wanted to get these funds as fast as possible to the companies. So they didn't verify if the guy or if the person applying was having the actual VAT number, if that's actually the company that's applying for. So a lot of the bad actors, a lot of the hackers set up fake websites replicating the actual state funding website. And people, like genuine people that had companies that had financial troubles, sent their information about the VAT number, about the financials, about a lot of the personal information, and applied thinking that they would receive funds at some point. But in the end, the bad actors collected all this information. They then filled this information out to the genuine website and diverted funds back to their own accounts somewhere, sitting somewhere outside Germany.
Mm. You already mentioned the WHO. What about the healthcare sector in general? I guess there were some hospitals attacked.
Absolutely. So we did see increased attack in hospitals in Prague, in Italy, when the crisis was at the peak there. They are struggling to keep up their devices, to keep up their systems up to date. while catering to the patients and while getting the masks, the PPE equipment, and all in place. So that's a bit of a nightmare. That's a bit of a sorry state. You would expect that the hospitals are at least to be attacked, but hackers don't care about the rules there.
Yeah, obviously. And now we have a new topic coming along with the Corona apps that are discussed right now. What do you think about that?
So I would go specifically into the apps, but a lot of the thought leaders in the industry, a lot of the thought leaders generally in our generation, they have warned us a bit about nation states getting into the mix. So there is a lot of concern about surveillance on the citizens. Of course, they would like to do track and trace. But in the end, which is pretty good. I mean, you're able to track and trace who's being attacked by Corona, who's probably a potential victim. You have Apple coming up and saying you could use my Find My iPhone facility. And then you see certain nations coming up with their own apps. The European Union is also discussing that. But we need to be what we need to be careful is the level of access we give them as citizens of the countries. This should not be in future reason for surveillance, mass surveillance on the citizens to see where their location is, where what they're doing and things like that.
Sudhir, you're officially coordinating TÜV's activity as a member of the Charter of Trust. Can you give us some background information on this initiative? The Charter also published some recommendations on cybersecurity in the pandemic for companies. What can you tell us about them?
So Charter of Trust is actually a consortium of different companies coming together. Siemens had this brilliant idea. They said, okay, there is no specific requirements, rules for cybersecurity that existed back in 2017. And they said, let's get things together. Let's try to come up with certain requirements. And they also said, we're not alone in this. So there are multiple other companies that are looking to get some basic cybersecurity rules in place. So a bunch of companies like Cisco, IBM, Dell, ourselves, TÜV SÜD. There's also companies like NXP and Infineon at the chip level. We all got together. It's now 18 companies together. What we're trying to do is to get 10 baseline principles in place. This ranges from supply chain security. We've seen increased attack in the global supply chain. So if somebody's targeting the large company, they're probably not targeting the large companies, but the small and medium scale enterprises that are supplying some valuable components and solutions for these large companies. Then you have a principle that goes more into deep dive for security by default, which means you're trying to get security in place right from the start, like start of the product design, start of a process design, when you're getting a new business model in place. So you would like to have security very much from the start and not at the very end of the process as a showstopper. And the last one that I would like to mention here is the certification of critical infrastructure. So that's also being addressed within the Charter of Trust.
So what about the recommendations that the Charter of Trust recently published?
Charter of Trust came up, they did see the need for certain baselines that are to be communicated as a part of the industry consortium to the outside world to say, hey, these are some basics that you can follow as an employee when you're working from home. So they did stress mostly from the device standpoint, make sure that you bring only the necessary devices, make sure that they are updated, make sure that they have authentication mechanisms in place. Then you make sure as a person, as an employee, that you communicate securely. You don't mix personal and private use of devices. And most importantly, they also mention about the virtual meetings that we have, because we are probably not meeting each other. We would like to have videos in place. We would like to share our personal intent to join the meeting and things like that in those kind of setup to identify participants actively as to who they are and also take care of information that they're sharing knowingly or unknowingly. Probably you have something on your wall that's stuck behind that could share information that you probably don't want to share in this meeting.
Okay, so not only the recommendations, but also the principles of the Charter of Trust are more important than ever in this crazy times now. Sudhir, as a closing question or last question, as a takeaway for our listeners for today's podcast, what are the most important things to remember?
So I would turn up the volume on the basic cybersecurity guidelines or the best practices that have been mentioned before. I would also recommend employees to stick to the corporate policy when it comes to security, what kind of apps are allowed, what is actually allowed and what you shouldn't be doing. What you also need to be aware of is that you're responsible for the information that you carry and you transmit across networks, across the internet. That's pretty much what I would say for the personal standpoint. But what I would also make sure for companies is to make sure that you have your backup and your backup is secure. Then you procure devices from trusted sources. You look at your supply chain, your complete value chain, what's happening to your suppliers. It's not enough to be just a large company securing your own perimeter, your own employees, but also we're seeing increased attack to via the supply chain. What also is pretty important is to make sure that your employees are cyber aware. So that's something that I would say. For a general citizen, as a consumer, I would say there's no need to be scared, but please be aware. That's what I would say. It's not inducing fear, but it's actually to make sure that we do not have any risks, but we do see cybersecurity as enabler. And irrespective of the coronavirus pandemic, I think the consumers have become increasingly aware of the security and privacy concerns in the devices, in the solutions, in the things that they use at home. I would say some of the smart minds have worked to develop some of the best guidelines and baselines for consumer IoT consumer products, like the UK's IoT Security Foundation that's come up with 13 set of requirements for consumer IoT. There's something from the American NIST standard that talks about consumer products and also enterprise critical infrastructure. That would be some basic guidelines that could be followed at the time of the pandemic, but also at any point in time.
Thanks for sharing all these insights with us, Sudhir, today. It was great to have you along, and thanks for being with us, and stay well and safe.
Thanks, Sabine. So to everyone, stay safe, stay secure.
You will find all our episodes at tuvsud.com/podcast. That is tuvsud.com/podcast. Please also check out some additional links on today's topic in our show notes. There will be more shows in English coming soon, so stay tuned. You can listen and subscribe to our podcast not only on our website, but also on many podcatchers. Thanks for listening, and of course, stay well and stay safe.